Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is 106. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I brushed my teeth and cleaned up because we got a guest in the house. The one and only Eric Escala is back home. The man himself, he and his scarf are in the building.
I just happened to be walking by the studio and she grabbed me and said, get in here.
So. And he has agreed to stay with me until 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't think he really has a choice, but I'm not going to tell him that to his face. We got 2 whole hours of the Shaletta Show, and I can't wait for you to meet my next guest. Many of you know her as the woke coach, Sina Hodges, award-winning thought leader right here in the Twin Cities, is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Miss Sina, I have not seen you in 2025, so I don't care what Chad Hartman says. I'm going to tell you Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Shaletta. Happy New Year, sis. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I want to introduce you to my friend, Eric Escala.
Sina, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so good. If Shaletta grabs you out of the hallway, you must be important.
He is. He was on the street, actually. He was at the bus stop. I got him, girl.
She said jump, and I said how high?
Listen, you know, we need a lot more of that. Black women need a lot more of that right now.
Okay, and I was just telling Eric what we were going to talk about because you put a post up on LinkedIn the other day that was an entire sermon series. You could have done a Wednesday night Bible study on that, and it was about 2 minutes, but it spoke to my spirit and so many other women of color could identify with it. Can you share with Eric and the class what you said on social media in that video that has now gone viral?
Absolutely, absolutely. What I was thinking about is boundaries. But mostly I was talking about Michelle Obama and her decision to not attend the inauguration on Monday. And not only did she decide not to attend, she decided to not explain why she was going to miss the inauguration. And I think it's important that as we are moving into 2025 with different energy, that we start to create boundaries for ourselves that are healthy boundaries. You know, now boundaries don't mean, no, I'm not doing things. It means I'm doing what's healthy for me, what's right for me, what makes me feel good, and recognizing that we don't owe people explanations for how we choose to move through the world if we're protecting our time, our energy, and our spirit. That's essentially what I put up.
And what made you feel like you wanted to share that? Did you have an epiphany? Was it an awakening? Because I know you go out and do so much coaching. They call you the woke coach. You over at Clockwork educating people there. You go to companies and you work with C-suite executives. And you've been doing this work for a number of years. Now you've won several awards. And anytime I am in a workshop or a seminar where you are leading the discussion, I always leave feeling more enlightened and more educated, more inspired. But what inspired you to do this video?
You know, sadly, the thing that ends up inspiring a lot of Black women specifically is we hit the wall. So, Letta, I will name right now for you that last year was not a great year for me. And I didn't even recognize it until November. What I'm saying is that I was exhausted. I was tired. I was running around. I was doing all these things for Peter, Paul, and everybody else. And when I finally realized, I was burnt out. I hadn't even considered that that would be a possibility, but I was burnt the heck out. So there was no more that I could give to other people. And what I read over the break, I read this wonderful book. It's called Finding Boundaries, Seeking Peace. And I'll send you the link. But it was a book that released me from feeling obligated to doing all the things that we feel obligated to do, and really to prioritize my own mental clarity and my own self-care. And funny enough, you know, you look at that video, and I laughed about it with some of my friends, because in that video, I got my hair tied up. I have, like, no makeup on. It is just plain Cena. And for me, it was really important in that moment to just share how I was feeling, because it was what she said was resonating with me. And as I'm on this journey of creating stronger boundaries for myself, I was like, I thank you, Michelle Obama, for modeling that and making it okay.
Could we define our terms? What is a good working definition of woke?
Oh, absolutely. So here's what I like to talk about when I talk about woke, Eric. Essentially, each of us has our own lived experience. So if I say, Eric, what happens at a powwow? And you say, I don't know. I've never been to a powwow. That's not good or bad or otherwise. It just is. You've just never been. And that's okay. And we're not judging you because you haven't been there. The other thing is that we have to recognize that nobody has the quintessential lived experience. While, you know, Shaletta is everywhere and doing a lot of things and in the community, Shaletta's probably got a lot going on. And everybody doesn't need or want to be exactly like Shaletta, right? Or no one wants to be exactly like Cena or Beyonce or any number of people, right? So with the understanding that we're just the sum of the things that we've lived, and everybody has a different lived experience, it's important that we awaken to the experiences of other people. I can contextualize it for you really quickly. I love to go on airplanes and fly places. But the number one thing that I always do is I have this heavy bag because I like to pack stuff, because just in case. But essentially what happens is that when I get to the airport, the first thing I do is I look for the curb cut. And that curb cut is there because of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it's a clear example of how when we wake up to the experiences and the needs of other people, that we can actually create solutions that serve everyone. So that's what it means to be woke.
How did the term become so politically charged?
I think, if you want my honest opinion, I think it's because people are looking for new ways to say the N-word without saying it.
Dude, okay, I'm on the floor. I fell out. I fell all the way out. I fell out.
Yeah.
You just gonna tell him the truth like that? You should have said, hey, sit down, I got something to tell you. You don't just drop it on the man like that. You say, hey,
sit down.
Hey, sit down. She got something to tell you. But this happens a lot, Eric. And let me just interject here. Do you remember when the term thug became popular a few years ago?
In the 90s?
They were calling people thugs. Yeah. And it's just every now and again they get a word. The gay people who can't say the N word in public, and they use that word instead of the N word. But really, in their heart, that's what they think and would like to say, but they know they can't.
Yes.
So they find a word, pick that word, and then that's it. And they run with it.
Absolutely. And also, Eric, to scapegoat anything that makes them uncomfortable.
But there were a bunch of companies in the aftermath of the George Floyd death that sort of, quote unquote, became woke. And does that seem to be fading a little bit? Or?
Oh, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. It's fashionable when it's fashionable, right? When people need you and you are staring it in the face. Think about it this way. In Minnesota, we have a great number of Fortune 500 companies. And Minnesota is also the place where George Floyd was egregiously murdered. So you can't be in the place where the thing happened and not address it. You also have employees who are impacted by this. So there's a lot of things that need to happen. So, you know, I hit the floor like Shaletta just did when the day after the murder of George Floyd, I opened Amazon and there's a big Black Lives Matter banner across the top of Amazon. And I think that was a moment of collective recognition that we had some repairing to do. But as is always with sometimes work that is difficult, where you have to do a lot of unpacking, people get tired and that fatigue starts to set in. And then they say, well, you know, somebody will do it, right? And so when you say somebody will do it, then anybody will do it, and then nobody does it, right? So it starts to fade away.
I don't know if you saw Shaletta's op-ed in the paper this past week, but Shaletta, that was kind of the theme you had, wasn't it?
Yeah, that, you know, one of the quotes that I have there that, you know, I hadn't said publicly or out loud to anybody who wasn't a black woman, but black women are tired of people playing in our faces and playing politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
coming around every 4 years saying how important we are and how it's, you know, dire that we get out to vote and get us engaged and mobilized. And then, you know, after people get elected or not, you know, they turn their backs on us until 4 years later. And then they come back and tell us how important we are and how we matter. And then, you know, once they get elected or not. And so we've been going through this cycle. That I remember this is how old I was, Eric, when I remember that this was a cycle and nothing was going to change or be done. I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12 years old. Ooh. I was at Siloam Memorial United Methodist Church. My grandmother had been cooking until her feet were swollen and she could hardly stand. My great-grandmother was cleaning the church from top to bottom because the woman, Kathy Whitmire, who was running for mayor, was coming to visit. And she came and she patted us on the head and we took Polaroid pictures, Cena, and she told us how important our church was and the church was filled to the rafters and she stayed after and she told us that we mattered and we did not see that woman again for 4 years. And then we did not see the next mayor again until Lee Brown ran. That was 4 years later. And then we didn't see the next politician until 4 years. And I was 12 years old when I realized this is a hustle. These people are using us. And we keep falling right back into the same trap.
And I think it's an exercise in understanding what's at stake. And I think, you know, think about it this way. Because black women suffer from sometimes racism, but also sexism, it puts us in a very different position than a lot of other people. And because we have that, we have to contend with intersectionality in that way, we think about the most critical issues more critically. Whereas someone can only, you know, have to worry about their racial identity or someone might only have to worry about their gender identity. We have to think about both of those things constantly. And I tell my friends, you know, the black women that I'm in circles with right now, we say 2025 is the year of crossing our arms and our ankles.
Okay.
And we mean that.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a quick commercial break because Eric is puzzled. He don't know what we're talking about right now because he's only been hanging out with me for 3.5 hours. So he's not fluent in black women. Chad Harmon is fluent in black women. Eric Escala, not so much. So we're going to have to do some translating for Eric when we come back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Woo! Okay, now, Eric Escala, when I was doing my almanac last week, I saw you. You enjoyed it. I was doing my Beyonce. It was the Shaletta Bowl on almanac.
That's available on tpt.org/almanac. You can see Shaletta with the Beyonce tribute.
Yes, yes. I saw you chuckle. I saw you. It was a little funny.
I was yucking it up.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And we are yucking it up with Cena Hodges, the woke coach, right here on the Shaletta Show. It is 1:22. She is continuing her conversation about a viral video she put up on LinkedIn. And you said something that blew Eric away, girl. We had to go to commercial break and keep our composure. And you got to get anybody just now tuning in that quote again.
Yes, I said that the black women that I've been speaking to in right now, 2025, we say this is the year of crossing our arms and our ankles.
What's the ankle part?
So if you're sitting in a chair, are you sitting in a chair right now, Eric?
Yes, ma'am.
Just put one of your feet on top of the other.
Okay, I've done that.
Yeah, and then sit back a little bit, okay. And then just cross your arms across your chest.
All right, I've done that.
Yeah, so can you breathe deeper?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doing it.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what I'm doing in 2025.
So we're not going to be marching.
Mm-mm,
we're not going to be marching for democracy because the time to march was in the voting booth. We're not going to be protesting for
you. How do you know when that attitude is self-defeating?
I'll say this. If there are, I think there may be some circumstances that might allow for me to move out of my seated position. But they're going to be probably few and far between, and probably for the benefit of people who have worked really hard and need my support in this moment. But I'm not going to jump to action for every single solitary thing that happens, because that is hard. And, you know, self-defeating. Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
What fills the vacuum then?
Y'all fill the vacuum. We've done our part. I mean, black women, Fannie Lou Hamer and Josie Johnson and so many other black women have risked their lives to try to save and preserve democracy, voting rights, and so many other things in this country. And anytime somebody says injustice or anything like that, we jump up, we mobilize, we come together, we march, we protest, we do all this stuff. We leave our families behind. We leave our children. We leave our jobs. We take vacation time. And we try to go and get the wrong righted, right? And so now we're saying, if you want to fix it, you go ahead. We'll be right here. We'll pray for you, thoughts and prayers. We'll sit over here and think about you, and we will pray. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to be putting our blood pressure on the line every time you have a crisis.
And also, just to put a finer point on that, too, Shaletta, Eric, you said who's going to fill the vacuum. And the reality of that is you said something that's just so genius. The reality of the situation is that people have not had to feel the fact that there is a vacuum, because black women have been constantly laboring. So what's going to happen is that while we tap out, you're actually going to recognize that there is a vacuum, and then hopefully recognize that there's something that you can do, right? Because right now what has happened is we've been filling it up so much that you haven't even recognized that that there are things that need to be done, because we've been holding it up.
It's funny, in the political world where I come from, the Democrats always say the backbone of our party is the black woman.
Yet
there's a certain amount of don't take us for granted, or you do take us for granted. Is that kind of the idea?
Absolutely. Yes, it does happen. It happens in many relationships with people and black women, that we get taken for granted in those situations and scenarios. And we are created to... You know, I gave a talk yesterday, and I talked about the fact that a lot of times in some of our families, we love our sons, but we raise our daughters. Meaning that there's this constant obligation when it comes to, one, being a woman, of course, but also if you're a woman of color or a black woman, there are obligations. If you're the oldest black daughter in a family, your plate is so full. Or conversely, if you're the youngest black daughter in the family, your plate is so full. So there are a lot of things, Eric, that are happening culturally that people don't even understand about our families on a day-to-day basis that we're contending with. And that's in our personal lives. Then we got our professional lives. Then we've got our civic lives. So there's a lot that we're doing and a lot that we're exporting. And a lot of times what's happening is that we're not getting to import nearly as much as we export.
And you know what? I hope, Eric, when you talk about the vacuum that was so genius and brilliant of you to say, I hope that people will realize the value that black women have brought and continue to bring to this country, because there hasn't been a vacuum. You know, a lot of times we are taken for granted. Our expertise is taken for granted. Our contributions are taken for granted. And when it's not there, then maybe somebody will see the worth and value in what we bring to the table and then begin to appreciate that. And I know for me, I'm not going into spaces anymore where I'm tolerated. I'm only going into spaces where I'm celebrated. So if you are only going to tolerate me because of my talent or that I can fill your room or bring more people or help your business grow, and you want to, I don't even take everybody as a client, right?
Yes.
For my company, I do marketing, I do public relations, I do promotions, I do production. There's some people that I won't take their money because I know they're only working with me. And they really wouldn't otherwise work with me if I couldn't deliver in the way that I do. So I'll tell them, you know, I don't think this is a good fit. And I would never turn down money before. But now I'm only working with people who are going to celebrate me and appreciate the work that I do.
So how big an inflection point, how big an inflection point is this now to a new dynamic, a new paradigm, whatever you want to say?
You know, we are not doing what our mothers did. My mother worked at the same job for 48 years. She never got a promotion. She trained every supervisor she ever worked with. She did not complain. She stayed there. She did not make waves. She did not want to be a problem or a burden on her employer. She worked sick. She rode the bus if her car broke down and nobody ever knew it. She buried her mama in the morning and was at work that night. So black women have done this and been overworked and underpaid for a long time, and their daughters are no longer doing that because we have options. We have options. Like I can hire Cena and Cena can hire me. I can fund Cena's events and Cena can fund my event. And so we're able to circulate the black dollar. And you and I were talking about this, in the break during commercial, where we can circulate the black dollar and support one another and be self-sustaining. And our parents didn't have that model or see it.
Absolutely.
So they weren't able to do it. And now I see Cena doing it, so I feel like I can do it. And since I can do it, Alicia Price feels like she can do it. And since she can do it, Marsha Carter can do it. And then we look up and Devonna Pittman is doing it. And so there are like dozens of black female millionaires right here in the Twin Cities who are just riding around in 2012 nine-seaters buying cars for people. And hooking folks up because we are supporting and helping each other. So we got options today in 2025 that we did not even have in 2023.
Absolutely. And Eric, to answer your question, I want to say that I don't think we're at the apex yet, but I want to put a little data behind this. In 2020, do you know who the largest group of people who were starting businesses and leaving corporate America and any jobs that they had?
Share that with us.
It was black women. So black women have exited the workforce, the traditional workforce, and started their own businesses. And I believe that that was one of the first steps that we had to take to get to the recognition that we could sustain ourselves. And to the point that Shaletta just made about us depending on each other, we have a whole universe of, and an ecosystem of us that are working in businesses that work with each other collaboratively. So we have cut out the day-to-day expectations of who we ought to be, where we ought to be, how that ought to look. And we have realized that we can do things for ourselves, you know, in a for us, by us, you know, scenario, because for so long we've been laboring on behalf of others. And so the beauty of it is that once people realize their full potential and once they start to live into that, you get a different atmosphere. You get something completely beautiful and wonderful. And at the end of the day, black women doing this for themselves actually makes it better for everyone because we've created some of these businesses that didn't exist. So there's a lot that's happening. So right now, to add on in 2025 and say that we are, you know, sipping our tea and minding our own business means that we are literally minding and mining our own businesses.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed the conversation. Thanks.
And we'll be right back on The Shaletta Show. It is 1:37. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Hanging out with my guest host, Eric Escala from Almanac, WCCO Radio alum. Thank you for being here with me the entire 3 hours. This is like the best treat ever.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed every moment of it.
Well, we are having such a good time. And if you want to know what color scarf Eric is wearing, just go to my social media pages because I have, don't tell them, they got to go to the social media page and see. So don't
All right.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them. But what we are going to tell you about is an amazing program that I found out about in Washington County. You know, I live in Cottage Grove, which is in Washington County. And one of the things that I'm most proud of that we do there is how we address opioid misuse. Eric, it is rampant throughout the country, even though rates are down right now. There was a time when it was really bad.
Seemed to me, I read this past week that there was a big fentanyl bust.
Yeah,
80 pounds or something.
It's every week. It's a big bust. We had a big bust in Washington County. My son Andrew is at St. Cloud State, and they had a big bust and an arrest in Stearns County. And so as you know, law enforcement deals with this. You know, we as community members, family members. Are left with the fallout of how do we help our relatives? You know, because there's the criminal aspect and you know, making sure this doesn't get to the communities and locking up the bad guys. But then somebody has an addiction. Somebody has lost everything. Somebody has to start all over again. And so there's a company that I'm going to tell you about. They're going to tell us about. It's called Your Path Help. And Steve DeLisi and Jordan Hansen are joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Steve. Hey, Jordan.
Hello. Great to be on.
Now, Steve and Jordan, I want y'all to meet Eric, my friend. He's going to be hanging out with me today, so he may be asking some questions, too. I don't want you to be thrown off. He is a journalist, so he's good.
That sounds great.
Eric, great to meet you, too.
What a buildup from Shaletta. I'm overcome.
Now, I was just blown away when I found out about Your Path Health and the work that you do to help people who are struggling with opioid misuse and how you have shifted the paradigm power. And Steve, I want you to just kind of give Eric a little sense of Your Path Health and what you guys do.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. I appreciate the invitation. At Your Path, really, our mission and our purpose for being a company is to, as you said, change the paradigm. We want to make access to quality, evidence-based care for addiction, substance use disorders. We want to make that access as easy as it is, in fact, easier than access to drugs. That's been the vision of the founders of Your Path, Jordan Hansen, Jeff Larson, and Phil Jura, from the very beginning. And their invitation to be a part of that was just an invitation that I couldn't pass up. So our goal is to create a connection. We have a platform, a technology called SALA. That's S-A-L-A. And it brings everyone in the community together, working collaboratively, not competitively, but collaboratively to address the needs of individuals and families suffering from addiction right to their doorstep.
And, you know, Jordan, you started this company with a simple idea. What idea was that?
Well, it was just like Steve said, you know, the three co-founders, all people in long-term recovery, all people with, you know, decades of clinical experience. It shouldn't be as hard as it is to navigate our system. And so what we wanted to do is make it as easy as possible. And so we just got started. We started the company in a barn. You know, we didn't get paid for 18 months, but we saw this potential to use technology to make it as convenient as absolutely possible to access support, whatever that looks like for the individual and their family.
What kind of success rate have you had?
Well, it depends how you measure success. So, you know, lots of times people look at success as recovery or sobriety or abstinence rates. That's important, but it's not the whole picture. What we find is 80% of people with a substance use disorder in the U.S. don't get any care at all. And 6 out of 10 families in Minnesota have been affected by substance use issues. So what we have is this huge population of people that have an issue but are not getting engaged, and that's really where we come in, is that we're trying to push engagement with our friends in the community and the other programs. And so the engagement rates that we're seeing month over month are, you know, 75-80%. And this is what recovery looks like in my experience, is that if we keep people engaged and we support them and love on them and have accountability, is that they get well.
And this platform is telehealth. Talk to us about that, because, you know, before COVID, they were just in beta testing. And now everybody is using telehealth, and it just makes it so much easier to access the services that we need.
Yeah. So throughout my career, and Steve, too, you know, we worked together at Hazel and Betty Ford. We did work in Appalachia and the Pacific Northwest. I was told my whole career that we couldn't use simple technologies to help people connect, is that the folks we serve, it wouldn't work for them. And what we found in, you know, I don't know if y'all remember, like, those first 3 days of COVID, the whole world changed. And in our world, everything shifted. So all these programs that were in person and had been maybe not resistant, but not really excited or open to using telehealth as an option, everything switched. But I think the approach that we take is telehealth isn't for everybody. And most of the time, in our experience, what we're looking to do is bridge people to that next step. So it's not competitive, like Steve said. So we'll do telehealth. We'll see people maybe when they're in crisis or in a period of transition, but we want them to get connected to recovery in their community and, you know, get a primary care physician in their community. And that's really, I think, the power is when we work together, we have outcomes that are much, much better than if we were to kind of just work as one program.
Just to compare it to something, how does it differ, if it does, from like a 12-step program?
Well, 12-step programs are part of the solution. I think one of the things that we found is there are so many different pathways to recovery. You know, Steve, in his background as a psychiatrist and addiction medicine physician, he brings that medical aspect. We have members on our team that are, and like myself, in long-term recovery. So it's not that, you know, anything is necessarily better for everyone, but that everyone can find their pathway, whatever that looks like. And I mean, and this is a little bit corny and a little bit over the top, but your path, the idea is that, you know, recovery is individualized and people's choices matter. And I think empowering them to make decisions and finding their own path to recovery is what we're about.
Okay, so there are some folks listening because I'm getting text messages. I'm sure Eric saw me on my phone, and I just need you to know, Eric, that the one thing about this show is we interact and engage with people in real time. So you'll see me on my computer. You'll see me on my phone because I'm responding to Linnea and Jabbar and Brenda Grahams and so many other people who are engaging with me, sending me questions, wanting to know things from the guests, getting information, and people are asking how they can reach you because they have a loved one who is going through this and they are thinking, this is it. We need to figure out how to get involved if this is available in my county like it is in Washington.
Yeah. Well, you can text us. I'm happy to give you the number now. It's 833-454-9209. You know, we're trying to make it as easy as possible. And if you can get drugs by texting, you should be able to find recovery through texting. So that's one way to connect with us. You can also give us a call, too. I mean, our hope is to try to bring the whole community. So it's not just your path. It's our friends in the community, Twin Cities Recovery Project and Steve Rumler, Hope Network, and you know, all of these great community programs, Thrive Family Resources. They're a family recovery program. So our goal is to try to be the front door to as many helpful things as possible. Because back to your question about, you know, 12-step approaches, any approach is great if it works for
That's
folks.
Right.
What we're trying to do is have the menu available to everybody.
Well,
that's right. Yeah.
Well, Steve and Jordan, thank you both so much for being on the show. YourPathHealth.org is a website where you can get more information, and 833-454-9209 is where you can text or call. We'll be right back. It is 1:52. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I got a good neighbor here with me, somebody you recognize. You will recognize his voice, his scarf, his style, his swag. Eric Escala is here. And you had the governor on Almanac last night.
And the legislative leaders.
Yes. Okay. Well, so what was that like? Was it sparks were flying? I mean, what was going on?
I think the crew and Kathy and I were mildly surprised that it was not confrontational, that it was fairly, you know, pleasant. And they have their political points, of course, they're making, but it wasn't hostile or anything.
you know, you would think by watching the news and how things are going and what everybody's talking about that they would have been at each other's throats. But, you know, when you get them in a room individually, it's not the collective, you know, just kind of going back and forth that we see, you know, on news broadcasts and, you know, in the legislature when we're watching live on, you know, the closed access.
I like to compare it to pro wrestling.
Okay, come on, because I need that comparison. Give it to me.
That there's a bunch of growling and yelling on the mic between matches and when they're promoting where they're going to be next and who they're going to be fighting, and then they leave in the same car. And that's not quite true, but there's an aspect to... So
what was the point last night? I mean, does it seem like, and you've been doing this a long time, that we're going to come to any sort of agreement? What's the latest? Because they messing up Black Entrepreneurs Day. Like, I need these legislators to get back.
Well, tell people about that, because that's a byproduct of this that people wouldn't think about.
Well, because the legislators are not in the House, the Democratic legislators, when I asked these 400 to 500 business owners to come to Black Entrepreneurs Day on February 3rd at 10 o'clock to rally in the rotunda, I have told them that after that, they can meet with their legislators. Well, half of their legislators might not be there
right.
if this thing is not resolved.
Yeah.
So I've spent the past 3 days at the legislature, on the phone, meeting wherever, asking Republican House members as well as people in the Senate if they would agree to meet with people who are not their constituents when they come to the Capitol for Black Entrepreneurs Day.
What kind of feedback have you gotten?
This is the thing. Everybody I talked to said yes.
Oh,
of course. We want these businesses to succeed. We don't just serve the constituents in our district. We serve all Minnesotans. I'm like, if y'all can get along on this, can y'all come together and get this? What is the holdup? What are they fighting about?
Well, there's several court cases. There's a special election needed in the Roseville area. There's a election that the Republicans are contesting in the Shakopee area. There's a big question as to whether there's 134 seats in the House.
Okay.
And right now it would be the ideal would be 67-67.
Mm.
Power sharing, nobody with a majority.
Right.
But there's a couple of seats outstanding, and the Republicans are proceeding as if the session is underway.
But it's not. Half the people are gone.
The Democrats are – they swore in themselves secretly. They are not showing up at the Capitol. They are apparently meeting in their districts with local
right.
officials and constituents.
But that doesn't help me because I'm having my event at the Capitol.
Yeah. And even the speaker designate on the Democrats, Melissa Hortman, said last night that, you know, they know they're taking some heat. They know it's not the greatest look, but they're trying to, maintain that once the Republicans have a one seat edge right now with these court cases still outstanding.
Right.
And the question is a quorum 68 or can a quorum be 67?
Oh.
And so it's deeper in the weeds than you want to go, but it's...
Okay, so do they not know that people are upset about this? Like, you cannot... We didn't elect you to hang out at your district. We elected you to get to the Capitol and take care of the people's business. If we have a job and somebody pays us to show up at our job and we don't show up, we get fired. And so what's going to happen is voters are the ones who are the bosses. And people are going to start getting fired if they don't show up for work, whether they like the work environment or not. And we've all been there where we show up to a job that we don't like because we got work to do.
You're not alone in your opinion.
Okay. Do you think in all your years of covering the legislature here in Minnesota, is this going to get resolved soon? Is this as bad as you've ever seen it?
Well, it looks like March is when it will get resolved.
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot more to it, but I think it's so deep in the weeds that why waste the airtime and talking about it?
Are they going to get back to work? They're not going to go back to work until March. It is freaking January.
Well, it could happen earlier. It could happen earlier, but I'm just saying I think the most likely, because the special election now in the Roseville area, the governor started the clock too early on setting up the special election.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be delayed a little bit more, and so it might flop into March.
March.
But who knows? The Democrats could come back, you know, Monday. Who knows? But. A lot we don't know.
A lot going on. Is this the worst you've ever seen it? Dysfunction? Yeah. It's been worse than this?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a constitutional crisis or an attempted coup or
right.
Mini January 6th. They'll figure it out.
I hope so. Let's act like adults and not five-year-olds. All right. It is 1:57. We've got an hour left with Eric Escala and the Shaletta Show.